And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Almost done with August. Almost, but not quite. And a reminder, as always, that if you would like links and information on any one of these winemakers, owners, or the wines involved, simply go to Tasting Room Radio, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. I saw a press release come out that said, hey, there's a new group out in the Okanagan. It's called the Grand Cru Collective. Then I started to look at the makeup of this collective. It starts with Niche Wine Company in West Kelowna, Joanna and James Schlosser. Small Batch Big Love. They're going to pour the Small Batch Bubbles and the Pinot Noir Blanc. Rob Westbury, East Kelowna, Nagging Doubt. He's going to pour the 2018 Sallows Road Shard and the Leap. And the other Rob Hammersley from Black Market in Culloden, is going to pour the 2019 the Omerta Rosé and the 2017 Syndicate. A beautiful blend. Effie Peril is on the show for the first time. His winery is Tender Hope. He has a Rosé Bubble from 2019 and the 2018 Fire Dance Meritage. And finally, a winemaker owner I have a great connection with, Michael Mosny, who came to us from Croatia, Slovakia, loved the Okanagan. He and his wife created Winemaker's Cut, and he's in the Oliver area at Dead Man Lake. He's going to be pouring the 2019 Gruner and the 2018 Bohemia Cuvée. The second half of the show is a return to Kitsch Wines and the new winemaker and general manager, Graham Pierce. You know Graham from Black Hills Winery and Nota Bene, Mont Boucherie, and a short stint at Time. And I think he's found his home at Kitsch. The previous interview that I did with him really was unfortunate in that he had just taken over from Grant Biggs. And these are all Grant's wines. And I thought I owed him a second interview so he could explain not only the wines that he was pouring in Victoria, but more importantly, what was up ahead. So we're going to be on the sixth floor of the Laurel Point Inn, Inner Harbor in Victoria. It's a gorgeous sight. A little blowy, a little windy, and we had to wear some masks, but we got it done. So the Grand Cru Collective and a return to Kitsch on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. I wrote Jason Parks and asked what's going on at The Hatch. He said, well, we bought a food truck, smoked barbecue, for people to pair ribs with Pinot. And I said, so what about the Pinot? He said, well, we pour Pinot from 15, 16, and 17, all East Kelowna fruit, all of the same vineyard, so people can understand the aging process. The food truck is there from noon to 6. We have no name for it, so we're going to call it Meatheads. And the head meathead is Ryan, the chef. And the new home of Black Swift is open from 11 to 6. All the details at thehatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I have had complicated relationships with the Zoom machine. Some worked, some didn't. This is actually, I think, going to work. There's a human factor involved because there's five wineries. There's six in total going to be talking to you. But we are missing one of the key ingredients, Rob Westbury. And he'll come in here. He'll come in riding in on his horse from Nagging Doubt. But anyway, in the meantime, let me introduce him. And you can see on the screen, if you're following us along on Zoom, I'm so excited. From Black Market, Rob Hammersley. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
You as well.
Did you shave today?
I haven't shaved in 2 years.
Okay, fine. Rob Westbury will be here in a moment from Nagging Doubt, I'm sure. From Niche Wine Company in West Kelowna, Joanna and James Schlosser. Hello.
Hello.
Nice. Thank you so much. From Tender Hope, Effie Peril from West Kelowna.
Hi.
Effie. And my longtime, long distance pal, Michael Mosny, from Winemaker's Cut. Michael.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Very well. I like your vineyard in the back there. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that Rob has also a beautiful virtual background.
it's not virtual. this is it.
The problem is that we can hear your voice bouncing off the walls of whatever room you're sitting in. It's kind of cool. All right, here's the deal. This all started with a wonderful release. Maybe I'm a camera, pick it up like that. It was one of the greatest little releases I had ever received because it was concise, it was brilliant, was well done, and I liked the people involved. It's called Grand Cru Collective, and we're going to explain who they are in just a moment as we go. James, would you kindly be our spokesman for just a moment and give us an overview on the collective and why they came together like this?
Sure. Well, I'm sure my compatriots can fill in some of the missing details, but we were fortunate enough that all wine tastings are ordered by alphabetically. So Niche comes right after Nagging Doubt. So for years, we've been next to Rob and Abby at wine tastings and, you know, quickly come to realize that there's a lot of shared problems and a lot of shared opportunities amongst all wineries. And we find that most consortiums actually kind of group themselves geographically.
That's right.
So you have Naramata Bench and you have, you know, Corkscrew Drive and all those great people. But then there's also different sizes of wineries throughout the Okanagan, and small wineries have different challenges than medium and big wineries. So just through those conversations, we kind of started the concept, and then, you know, Rob knew the other Rob from Black Market, and then I met Effie and Michael sometime after thereafter, and it just kind of all gelled together at that point.
But I mean, do you want to be considered a, well, you can't be considered a region, and are you going to stay at five, or can you expand that group?
So we've kind of had some initial meetings with a co-op advisor, and the general consensus is we can get a little bit larger, but not that much larger. It becomes a bit unwieldy at some point. But I think overall, and everybody else can jump in and disagree when I say something incorrectly, but basically what we can do to collectively is we all keep our own styles, we all keep our own winemaking process, but in those areas where it might make sense financially to mirror a 50,000 case winery, none of us are close to 50,000 cases, but collectively as a group, we can mirror that. And so we can do economies of scale, and we can do joint marketing efforts together, and all those great things. So that's one of the big benefits.
So I think where that comes in handy is, you know, things like buying bottles. So we all have our own unique winemaking style and marketing style and different things that we're doing, but buying power, that it helps with things like that.
Joanna, lean into your husband just a bit. Would you be just, we want to see, there you go. I see that we are now, we are in Nagging Doubt territory. Rob Westbury has joined us. Rob, how are you? Good. It's a brochure, and it starts with Black Market. Rob Hammersley in Culloden, right next door to Birch Block.
That's correct. They're our neighbors.
And apparently you exchange advice across the fence.
We exchange more than that. We during COVID, we were having sort of a weekly cocktail hour on sitting down on either side of the fence.
Yeah.
We'd share wine, we'd share some food, but we would be responsibly distant from each other.
I know you do this a lot. Every time you pour, you explain what Black Market Wine Co. is. How large are you? How large do you want to get?
Right now, we're just shy of 2,000 cases a year.
Perfect.
We'd like to be in the sort of 5,000 or 6,000 range relatively soon, but we're still quite small and manageable from the perspective of Michelle and I.
And do you think like a garage yeast?
I do think that way. That's kind of where my roots are, and I think I'll always think that way.
Okay. I'm going to jump straight into this because I asked you a very difficult question in that or assignment. Only bring two wines to talk about because some of you have a lot more than that and you have your favorites. You sent along a 2019 Chris Dry Rosé or Omerta. Tell me about that.
So this is the first year that we've made our rosé from Syrah grapes. And, you know, one of the challenges that we face as small wineries is sourcing fruit. And we don't grow Syrah on our property, so we've been sourcing it from another vineyard in Soyuz.
Sure.
And it tends to be one of the more expensive red grapes. And so from a business perspective, sometimes it's hard to take a grape that you can turn into a $35 red wine and put it in $24 rosé. It's quite fruit forward. It's very much made in the styles of rosé from Provence. So it's got that nice dry finish, great minerality, really, really good acidity, which is one of the hallmarks of fruit from the Okanagan.
Yep.
And just bursting with red fruits.
Okay. It's $24. How many cases?
We did 110 cases.
There you go. I want to get that one down. Okay. I'm going to ask you all that same question. Cherries, melon, berries, lots, gorgeous. The 2017 Syndicate, I'll let you run the blend.
Sure. So this is our take on a Bordeaux inspired red blend.
Right.
So the 2017 vintage is 50% Merlot, about 30% Cabernet Franc, and 20% Petit Verdot. Very high proportion of Petit Verdot relative to many other Bordeaux style blends.
Yeah.
I love the floral lift that grape brings to the blend.
If you get a chance, would you do a single vineyard de Petit Verdot down the road?
Funny you mentioned that. I'm considering doing that for next year.
Okay. That's just me being selfish because I love that. Black fruit. I love the dark chocolate. I love the tobacco notes. It's $35. How many cases of this syndicate did you make?
300.
Okay. And in cellar, what, 5 years, 7 years?
What do you think? 5 to 10 years, ideally.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got great structure, great tannins, good acidity, definitely everything that it needs to have a few years in bottle.
Rob Hammersley, Black Market Wine Co. We go next in this Grand Cru Collective to Rob Westbury from East Kelowna, representing East Kelowna, Nagging Doubt. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you? Sorry I was late. I'm Zoom challenged. What can I tell you?
A quick overview on Nagging Doubt, if you can.
You bet. So small lot, artisanal winery located in beautiful Southeast Kelowna. We have a estate vineyard, about 5.5 acres with Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and a German varietal called Zigaribe.
Yeah.
And then we also have grower contracts further south for our richer red blends.
The 2018 Chard.
So it's at Sallows Road is our estate vineyard. So that's the road that our winery is situated on.
Sure.
And I submitted the 2018 because it's a special year for us. That's the first year we were able to get a harvest off our vineyard. Our vineyard is actually newly planted. We planted it ourselves over 2 years, so 2014, 2015. And as you know, on average, it takes a vine to be at least, 4 years in age to be able to be mature enough to ripen fruit, at least for the purposes of making wine. And so 2018 was that year for us. So we, so the 2018 Chardonnay is holds a special place in my heart. It's one of the first wines we made and grew ourselves.
I forgot what a good talker you are. age 25%, new French, puncheons, lemon, Granny Smith. It's the full bang. It's really good.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. So I love French wine, as you know. Chablis is kind of my template with Chardonnay.
Right.
It does not taste like Chablis, that wine, but it's in that genre. So it's very lightly oaked, 20-25% done in French oak, the rest in stainless steel. Light, crisp, refreshing style Chardonnay as opposed to like an oaky, buttery style Chardonnay.
2018 Chardonnay from Nagging Doubt. How many cases?
We made all of 289 cases of that.
And price point?
It is $21 all in.
Get out.
Taxes and everything.
Get out of here.
It's practically free.
The Leap 2018, 200 cases. Plum, black fruit, cherry. Oh, there's a lot to deal with there. Oak and vanilla. pairs well with land, everything pairs well with just living. Tell me about the blend.
You bet. So we make two red blends. You're familiar with one of them. It's called the Pull.
Yeah.
And the Leap is its younger brother or sister. It is meant to be a simpler blend of three grapes. So it's Merlot, Cabernet Franc, and Malbec. It is what I call a great barbecue wine. This is fantastic with anything grilled like steak or lamb on your barbecue.
I've been kicking this around. It's empty, by the way.
I like the way you drink.
Thank you. Well, you got to sip and spit. No.
I guess they tell me I have to do that.
did I ask the price point on the Leap?
The Leap all in is $23.
You've practically given this away.
It's practically
that
free.
Is fantastic. Way to go, Rob. Rob Westbury, Nagging Doubt, East Kelowna. We move on to Niche Wine Company. West Kelowna, Joanna and James Schlosser. We just did a feature on women in wine in British Columbia with Sandra Ofield. And the first name at the top of the list was Joanna. And you don't even know what we said about you.
That's unnerving, to be honest.
Yeah, she likes your spunk, I believe it is. You've been a small batch. Define small batch for me.
Oh, James. No,
you go
no,
ahead.
You.
No, please don't fight. Please.
Please go
away. I know, but I feel like that's really a question for the winemaker.
Yeah, well, I guess unlike Rob, I've grown up on the piece of property that our winery is on since I was as young as 2, I believe. So my parents actually started growing grapes there well over 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But on a very small piece of property. So it was 8 acres in total, but only 2 acres was planted in grapes. We got our winery license based on that. And then we bought some crown land up above about 10 years ago, and or even more than that, 12 years ago. And they planted another 4 acres of vineyard up top there. So that's our entire estate is roughly around 6 acres. And we've been making mostly our wines historically until very recently, just off of the fruit off of our own property. So very small batches. We've got a lot of different varieties growing up there. We've got some Chardonnay. We've got some Pinot Blanc. We've got some Riesling. We've got some Gewurztraminer. We've got a lot of Pinot Noir and some Marcel Foch.
I saw that Foch go by. No Marsan Roussan?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, if you could. Small batch, big love, 175 cases. The small batch bubbles at $26. What are we getting for that $26?
Yeah, so Joanna believes very much like bubbles should be every part of your day. So basically that's what we're trying to accomplish with that wine. It's a very simple wine. It's actually made out of Gewurztraminer, but we make it in a little bit of a different way. We bring, it's all hand-picked. It comes into the winery in 20-pound totes. It's crushed and destemmed and pressed right away, and then it's fermented actually in 208-liter stainless steel drums.
How long do you stir it?
We stir it for about 4 or 5 months that way. And then
wonderful texture, wonderful yep. mouthfeel. Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to get out of it. It's actually a direct carbonated wine, but we try to do all that processing part at the beginning to get some of that texture to it by doing those stirrings. And then, we bottle it from there.
And how hard is the chase to find this wine?
How hard is it, Joanna?
This wine's actually available at Save On Foods, so you can find it across the province.
Okay, I have to leave now. Save On Foods. By the way, congratulations on the Farm Fresh White. I love the fact that it's a field blend. Gewurz, Pinot Blanc, Riesling. And did you put field blend on the label?
No,
that's a good term.
Yeah. Come on. That's my crush. That's currently what I'm all excited about. Pinot Noir Blanc. 95 cases, $24. What's going on in there?
Yeah, so that's actually, this is what we love about small wineries and working with other small wineries is it lets you become a little bit innovative.
Yeah.
Joanna and I tried a couple of white Pinot Noirs in Oregon, but nobody was really doing a lot of that up in the Okanagan. They were making some, single varietal rosés. So we tried to make a few white Pinot Noirs, and some of them are a little whiter than others. It all depends how, I'm getting a little bit old, Terry, so I can't move as quickly on the crush pad as I used to. So sometimes they soak a little bit longer than they used to when I was younger. But yeah, it's just same kind of process as our Gewurz. It's all hand-picked and comes in small totes, and then it's crushed to stem, and right away it goes right into the press and is pressed off from there.
Yeah.
Some years we barrel ferment a little bit of it, and some years it's 100% stainless steel. That vintage is 100% stainless steel.
And so from field to press is usually under the 2 hour mark.
Yeah.
Just to
yeah.
give a sense of how quickly 2 hours. It
okay. Oysters. Yeah. Can I do my oysters with this?
Yes.
Okay. Do you really have a 2-barrel Pinot Noir?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Now you're just playing with this. Okay, fine. All right, fine. Just for the record, we've been talking to 3 members of the Grand Crew Collective. Crew, C-R-E-W, Collective. Niche Wine Company, Joanna and James Slusher in West Kelowna, Rob Westbury in East Kelowna at Nagging Doubt, and Black Market Wine Co., Rob Hammersley in Caledon. When we come back, the rest of the Grand Crew Collective, Tender Hope, Effie Perel, who came from Israel to create wines in the Okanagan, and Michael Mosny, who came from Croatia to the Okanagan to make wines at Winemaker's Cut. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. I wrote Jason Parks and asked what's going on at The Hatch. He said, well, we bought a food truck, smoked barbecue, for people to pair ribs with Pinot. And I said, so what about the Pinot? He said, well, we pour Pinot from 15, 16, and 17, all East Kelowna fruit, all of the same vineyard, so people can understand the aging process. The food truck is there from noon to 6. We have no name for it, so we're going to call it Meatheads. And the head meathead is Ryan, the chef. And the new home of Black Swift is open from 11 to 6. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Unsworth Tasting Room is open Monday, Tuesday, noon to 4, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5, with free delivery on Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland. And the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. Let's move on because they have been very patient. Effie Perel, I have never met you. I like your hair today. Tender Hope.
It's like this every day.
Tender Hope, West Kelowna. Let's ask about Tender Hope and then about you. You've been growing and making wine for quite some time, 25 years note. Where did you start growing and making?
I was born in Israel. Right. My father is originally from Ottawa, but I was born in Jerusalem, and we lived in a small place. I was working in agriculture since I was 12 years old in the summers, and I got the wine bug around 18, 19, and then just went to work in a quite large vineyard there in the desert. And that's where my grower career started. I think something very interesting with all of us is that we were first growers, I think, and then winemakers. All of us are coming from growing wine and being in the vineyard, and that's why we really appreciate the vineyards. And we think that most of the work and most of the quality of the wines comes from the vineyards, not from the winemaking. That's my philosophy anyhow.
Okay. West Kelowna, 2019, a Rosé Bubble VQA, 270 cases?
Yeah.
That's a process, like whole cluster, like...
Last year, I made a lot of a sparkling base. And usually I make the sparkling a traditional method, but it takes around 2 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of people really like our sparkling, our 2017, and they wanted something for the summer. So I decided to take some of that sparkling base and make a very fun bubble wine for the summer that you can drink on its own or, yeah.
Here's how much fun this is. Yeah. Some of you on the screen will know when I say the peony candy floss. There's just... I can't remember if it was on the nose or the mouth. How did he do that? How did that happen? It's fantastic.
I don't do it. It's the grapes. They do it themselves. It's the grapes in the East. So I cannot take credit.
Okay. So what's the price point on the 2019 Rosé Bubble?
It's $23.
Way to go, man. Way to go. Now, the Fire Dance Meritage. What's the blend?
The blend is 50% Merlot, 21% Cab Franc, 15% Cab Sauv, and 40% Malbec.
Malbec. Cloves, so right up. Bam, boom, the cloves just went through the roof. Dark fruit, floral, French oak?
Yeah, there is a French oak, around 35% new oak, and the rest is in neutral barrels.
Is it 335 cases?
Yeah, it is.
Good Lord. And price point?
It's $24.80.
I warned you, the audience, I warned you that this would be as much business as it would be passionate about wine and such and such, because you need this information. You need to know what these guys are up to. It's important that you know this. So Tender Hope, West Kelowna, call them Effie. Now, we come to, you guys know the story of myself and Michael Mosney and his wife? I co-hosted a television series called Hollywood and Vines with the lovely and talented Jason Priestley. Sitting in Croatia, Michael, he saw us in the Okanagan, shooting in the Okanagan, and somehow convinced his wife, or his wife convinced him, to come to the Okanagan, check it out. They checked it out. They liked it. They sold everything. They went back home, sold everything when they went back home. They came. Now, here he is, winemaker cut.
Yeah, well, you brought me here to it. Clearly.
Well, listen, you have created your mini empire on your own, the two of you. You're in the Oliver area, Dead Man's Lake. How different is it?
Oh, it's super different. Like, this is the bottom part of Golden Mile, and I especially like Dead Man's Lake Vineyard because of the soil. You know, Dead Man Lake Vineyard, just like Spotted Lake on the other side of the hill, you know, in dry summer months when it's too hot, too dry, you can see white spots on the surface of these lakes.
Yeah.
That's just a confirmation of how rich is the soil in this area. The soil is not sandy, not gravelly. It's dark brown Chernozem combined with shale.
You're making wines that are described as cut,
yes,
Bohemian and Boho, and also heritage wines. For example, the 2019 Gruner, Shades of Slovakia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the varietal that I was, you know, growing and making wine ever since I was a basically child. So I grew up on making Gruner Veltliner. So when I came here and I couldn't process any Gruner grapes that harvest, it kind of felt awkward. So finally in 2018 was the first time I got my hands on some Gruner Veltliner grapes. So I started making it. I honestly didn't really think that people will like it because such a weird name. And I'm first time I made 100 cases, and I thought like, well, you know, if nobody buys it, I'll drink it myself because this was the wine that we used to drink every day.
I think we'd all do that. Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, it sold out really quickly. So we slightly increased production last year to 300 cases.
300 cases. All right. Yeah.
And our Gruner, basically, you know, it always reminds me, Wiener Schnitzel potato salad every day.
Something light on the patio. What's the price point?
26.
Thank you very much. Now, the Bohemia Cuvée 2018. You have two. You have a Blanc and a Rosé. So which one do you want to present?
Well, the Bohemian Cuvée is like our like specialty wine, a blend, Oliver blend.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to present it is because we are almost running out of the 2018 vintage. Now we are bottling the 2019. Yeah. I just love it because it's basically a Bordeaux varietal blend, but we add a little bit of Syrah just to confuse customers and me too, maybe.
Okay.
And I just love it because the moment we add Syrah, 10% Syrah, the peppered ear there is just outstanding.
The 2018, you've got the Rouge and the Blanc.
Yes. Blanc we are releasing this fall.
It's your first time, right? That's first.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Rouge and Blanc, they should be both like a white and red meritage.
Price point on the bottles?
26 on the Rouge, 36.
Here's what I need to just ask in general, with the remaining time we have left, and it's not much. There's two things. The story that comes with the wine that everybody wants to pass on. They want to tell stories about why this wine, why they're pouring it for their friends, why they brought it home. You have a collective story here to tell. How do you get that story out? Because everybody has a different story. Do we have to talk to you individually, or can we... Will this collective speak to us in a single voice? Anyone?
Now that the questions are getting harder, I'll turn it over to them.
How about a Rob off? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. So I guess the way I look at it is there's two components to working together as a group. One is not a marketing component. One is just a bunch of people who are passionate about wine, who pass on advice, knowledge, but also logistics of making wine, as we mentioned earlier, simple things like purchasing bottles together to keep our costs down so that we can compete with larger entities. And then there's that public side. We all have a passion for wine that's quite similar, in my opinion. Effie mentioned the vineyard, as did Michael. We all are making small lot, by hand wine. That's a very common theme amongst all of us. And we think we can tell that story together as well. So there's, I kind of see it as two sides of the collective. One is a public side and one is just a winemaking side.
Hmm. Have you actually all been in the same room at the same time?
Yeah. Just last week.
Yes. And most people need grief counseling after I'm in the room.
All right. So listen.
Let me add one thing to the what brings us all together. You know, we have a very common vision in terms of winemaking and growing grapes, and we've already talked about that. But we also have very unique and distinct styles of making wine. So, you know, you're going to try a bottle of mine, and it's going to be very different than the rest of the wines that the collective are making. Although we share that same sort of philosophy, we all produce very unique wines. And so we feel it's a very supportive group because we're not really competing with each other.
Wonderful. Effie, I'm so glad that you ended up in the Okanagan.
Thank you.
I mean,
me too.
Well, first of all, it's safer here, somewhat. Yeah. And you seem to have captured the essence of the soil around you. It's wonderful wine. Way to go.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, yeah, I mean, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. When I first came, I was driving. I was like, I almost fell off the cliff. You know, just looking at the scenery is just like, I mean, we're also used to it now, but it's really one of the most beautiful places in the world.
And Michael, when you guys drove down that highway and you saw the valley, what did you think?
Well, we arrived 11 evening, like at night, so we didn't see anything. And then we found accommodation in Naramata. And the next morning we wake up and I was like, okay, I cannot be alive. This is heaven, probably, you know, because I saw a vineyard and I saw a lake and then I saw also Apex in the background. And I was like, this cannot be real.
Wow.
And now it's pretty much boring already, you know.
Joanna, can you tell us about the box offer, how people can get the sort of what they call a sample box?
So we partnered with Public Liquor, which is a Kelowna-based small liquor store, and they are selling online and in-store a collection of 5 wines, one from each of us. And so I believe the box is about $125, and you get a little sample, a bottle from each of the 5 wineries involved.
Cool.
5 partners, 5 bottles. Rob's both tried to throw in an extra one.
Of course he did. Of course he did. That's a given.
Got struck down.
Okay. And finally, if we were just, I realize that you guys don't do tours up at Niche. You're a little busy at Niche. And you know, everybody's hands on doing their stuff. But if you did a tour, how long would it take to do the loop? What do you got? You got West Kelowna, East Kelowna. You got Culloden. You got and the Oliver area. Mm-hmm. Would take half a day?
I would say probably. I mean, it takes about an hour and a half to get from Kelowna down to Oliver. So I would say 3 hours to do the whole loop. But that doesn't include the amount.
Of course, of course, it doesn't.
So maybe call it a day.
And here's the deal. Is there a collective website, Joanna?
No, but we do have a collective Instagram and Facebook set up.
Can you give it to us?
Yes, it's Grand Cru Collective.
C-R-E-W. So,
yes, sorry. Yes.
And I will put all of your website information on Tasty Grim Radio at mulliganstew.ca, and we'll let everybody know. And let's have a group hug. There you go. Thank you so much. That's about as safe as it's going to get. Thank you so much for the Grand Cru Collective. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Niche. Thank you, Rob Westbury. Thank you, Black Market. And Rob, the double Robs, the Tender Hope, and Michael Mosney from Winemaker's Cut. I was so consumed with this, trying to get it right, and it actually worked.
Thanks, Terry.
And I'm saying you can have the video, you can have the audio, you can put it on your websites if you want. I'm so thrilled that this happened. Way to go. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Unsworth Tasting Room is open Monday, Tuesday, noon to 4, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5, with free delivery on Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland. And the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Whether you visit Orofino in Coston or you shop online, check out their Rieslings. They have 5 different Rieslings. Chardonnay, a spectacular Cabernet Franc Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé, and an Orange Skin Contact Muscat. And a couple of words about Row 14 at Clippers. This is food that never lets you forget you're smack dab in the middle of Canada's organic farming capital and that the fire grill runs the show. Even the dry-aged cheeseburger is crowned with crispy charred onions and a hot pink smear of cold-roasted beet ketchup. A warm potato salad on the side is dusted with black onion powder. Alexandra Gill, The Globe and Mail. Orofino is open for tasting, and Row 14 is open 7 days a week, noon to 8 p.m. OrofinoVineyards.com and Row14.ca. This is our first COVID-19 pandemic interview with microphone, 6 feet separation. But Graham Pierce is the guy that we came to talk to from, of course, Kitch. We're standing at Laurel Point, friends. We're on the 6th floor. It's gorgeous. And you've come to pour part of your portfolio. The important thing is Kitch's relationship to Victoria. Are we just starting, or have they been Kitch fans for a while?
Well, that's a great question, Terry. Maybe I can throw that over to Mark, our Victoria agent.
Okay. I think there's been a pretty solid relationship for 3 years now. We had the original winemaker from Vancouver Island, and he spent a lot of time on the island. He's from Port Alberni, Grant Biggs. And so I think one of his first stops was Victoria. I think we started marketing wine here, and then we've been just growing it from there. We're pretty excited, so yeah.
What kind of a wine town is Victoria?
Amazing. So surprisingly, so I think sometimes people from the outside think Victoria is a little pedestrian, but there's a lot of wine culture here, and that's growing rapidly. There's wine growing on the island. We just got the sub GI for the Couchin Valley, and we've been pouring Okanagan wines here since day one. We have a lot of young Somms coming through, and it's growing. Yeah.
Let's put our masks on. Come on. How about this? Is this better? Do we look like we know what we're doing? I mean, you've been coming here for years with your wines. What kind of wine town is Victoria?
Exactly, Terry. Yeah, what I've always found is Victoria is a great market for BC wines. Victoria really embraces the Okanagan as a local wine, as well as the local scene here as well that are making a lot of amazing wines. So really, in some ways, Vancouver is a very cosmopolitan city, and sometimes people are looking for, you know, an amazing wine list that has wines from every small little wine region all over the world, or whatever the latest, you know, eccentric wine.
The trend is.
The eccentric trend of the day, right? Whereas Victoria seems to be a little bit more locally focused and whatnot. The whole island, really. We did really well here with Mount Boucherie back in the day. Did great with Black Hills, and Kitch has an amazing following. We've got an awesome team on the island. So we're really just looking to keep growing from that, and really want to come down and just support the market in, you know, these kind of interesting times.
If you can tell, this is mask interview time.
Right, exactly. Maybe it'll make my voice sound better.
What is it that you have an expanding portfolio. What had to be here for this tasting?
Well, our core SKUs, you know, the thing that we're really all about, we're in East Kelowna, so we're growing Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Riesling, and Pinot Gris. You know, four varieties that we've known in BC we can do a really great job with. And in those sites, I think they're, you know, really ideal for best expression of Okanagan fruit. So those are the wines we want to showcase today.
And you might also have to explain along the way, Graham, East Kelowna. Like it has popped up as a destination. Tell them who's already there, who's been the wines that they've known over the years.
Yeah, well, the oldest player that I can think in that region's got to be Tantalus, which, you know, originally Pinot reached back in the day with the plantings going back to the early 70s. So that was kind of always the landmark area and planting, and, you know, kind of a lot of the benchmarks for the wines. There's a lot of great producers in the area now. Spearhead, of course, The View's been there for a long time. Priest Creek just opened up a distillery. It's called Frequency. So we've got a lot of great neighbors. It's a really cool little wine area. And then south of us, of course, Summerhill, Cedar Creek, Martin's Lane, St. Hubertus down south. So there's so much to do in Kelowna and so many great wineries to visit.
It's a good neighborhood. You realize, of course, that we can't mask and taste at the same time. So let's talk first and then we can taste, okay?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe we should taste first.
Okay, fine. Let's start with the bubble in your hand.
Right, yeah, great. So Blanc de Blanc, so 100% Chardonnay from our site. As we were talking about, great area to grow Chardonnay, and especially to make a sparkling wine, because in that area we're going to have a little bit longer hang time before we're going to be picking it than if we were further south, when we're kind of running into a little bit more ripeness and flavor levels at lower sugar levels, i.e. lower alcohol, which is what you're picking for sparkling wine.
Define lower alcohol.
So we would pick the base wine to come in around 10% alcohol, and then we're going to do the second ferment to end up with around 11 or 12%.
How's the GM part?
The GM part is great. We've got an awesome team, so that's kind of the most important part for me, working with a bunch of great people. And Rhea's really amazing, and she's really running a lot of that role right now as I transition into it.
Is she an expert, or are they experts in selling wine on the internet? They seem to be really good at it.
Well, I mean, they're very smart people, and they, you know, look all around them and see what's going on. And, you know, they kind of figured out a lot of things in a very short amount of time about our industry. They would say they're kind of experts in consumer packaged goods. And so they kind of look at the wine from a little bit from that point of view. So, yeah, we've got a really loyal following, we've got a fun product. I think the really thing they've done is you know, often the wine world is just a, can seem a little bit too pretentious and not that much fun, and so it doesn't really attract a lot of new consumers. Whereas I think the Kitsch brand, I mean, wine doesn't have to be like that at all, right? So they can just kind of bring it down and make it a really fun brand, take the pretension out of it.
Sandra Ofield described Rhea, actually in glowing terms, but also the winery is a small batch winery. Do you concur?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, our biggest tank is 4,500 liters. We've got a bunch of 2,000-liter tanks. Everything's all small batch. It's virtually all single vineyard, mostly all from our own sites at this point. So, yeah, there's no, even if I wanted to, there's no capacity for a large batch.
So 4,000 for now, maybe 10 down the road.
Yeah, exactly. So just sort of very methodical, slowish growth, not trying to be too crazy. And really, it's when we planted 11 acres of Pinot Noir. Good. Yeah, so that's, I mean, and that's what I'm really excited about with this project, is making, you know, Pinot's one of my favorite varieties, really fun. So I think it'd be great fruit from that East Kelowna site. So when that comes on stream, you know, in 3 or 4 years, once we start getting some grapes out of there, that's kind of when a lot of our production is going to grow from that site.
Okay, what do you want to pour today?
So, you know, as we're talking about kind of our core SKUs, we've got Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, and then also we've got our Block Party as well, too, which is kind of a blend of all of the blocks. So it's predominantly Riesling, 60% Riesling, and then some Pinot Gris, a little bit of Chardonnay, and a touch of Pinot Noir in there.
Tell them about the Tentry, Tentry Chardonnay.
Well, you know, as we're talking about Rhea and Trent, I've always been, done a lot of really charitable work, and want to always have sort of a give back component to this. You know, I think it's really important in the wine world. So Tentry is a company that's planted trees all over the world, a Vancouver-based company, a clothing company. And so we've got this that if you buy a bottle of the wine, then they plant 5 trees in Madagascar. And then that Chardonnay is, it's more of the stainless steel style, not as much barrel influence, crisp, refreshing, delicious Chardonnay. Chardonnay, the reason why it's number one grape variety in the world, super, super delicious wines, especially from these kind of cooler sites where we can hang them longer, get a little bit more hang time out of it.
Difference between the Tentry Chard and the Barrel Chard?
So Barrel is, it's 100% barrel fermented and aged, you know, bigger, richer, it's full on oak Chard style. It's good balance on it and really, really delicious wine. So if you're a fan of that style, really hits all the points.
Just a nice, just at the back end, a really nice neutral barrel, just enough to settle it down, right?
Exactly. I mean, it can really, just a vessel really, right? So it's not so much picking up the oak, is it? Just mellowing out the wine.
Granny Smith?
Yeah, a lot of Granny Smith, orchard fruit.
Woo! This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Whether you visit Orofino in Coston or you shop online, check out their Rieslings. They have 5 different Rieslings. Chardonnay, a spectacular Cabernet Franc Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé, and an Orange Skin Contact Muscat. And a couple of words about Row 14 at Clippers. This is food that never lets you forget you're smack dab in the middle of Canada's organic farming capital, and that the fire grill runs the show. Even the dry-aged cheeseburger is crowned with crispy charred onions and a hot pink smear of cold-roasted beet ketchup. A warm potato salad on the side is dusted with black onion powder. Alexandra Gill, The Globe and Mail. Orofino is open for tasting, and Row 14 is open 7 days a week, noon to 8 p.m. OrofinoVineyards.com and Row14.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin Heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. Just know that the Fall Wine Festival dinner with Backyard Farm takes place October the 3rd and again on October the 10th. Road13Vineyards.com. Road 13. It's all about the dirt. Graham Pierce from Kitsch, general manager, and definitely has his hands on the fruit going forward. All right, next one along is Block Party. And you know how I feel about, if you don't already know, Graham Pierce. I'm a big fan of wines blended in block. Was this the same area, the same vineyard?
Yeah, it's all the same vineyard. Yeah, exactly. So it's right at our East Kelowna Road property, right where Kitch Winery is. We've got two different blocks of Riesling, the Chardonnay block that we just tried, as well as a little Pinot Noir. So it's everything in there. It's predominantly Riesling, about 60% Riesling.
Yep.
And then next Pinot Gris at 15%, and then a little bit of Chardonnay and a touch of Pinot Noir.
The Riesling carries it.
Riesling definitely carries it. I mean, it's kind of nice because we also have the two Rieslings as well, too. So if you like Riesling, but you don't want the full-on intense Riesling ride, then you can just kind of step it down a bit to that. It's got great balance, and it's great value as well.
2019, Block Party. It is fantastic.
It is
exactly what you need. Now, you might even think about carrying it through the winter as well. Simply, I'm talking about the consumer, because it's a great food wine as well.
Yeah, actually, we were just talking about that. Super nice, balanced wine, great with food, great with a variety of things, you know, seafood, all the nice Victoria cuisine we have here.
Then Esther's Block Riesling would be perfect for Victorian seafood.
So we do the two Rieslings, the Esther's Block as well as the Maria's Block.
Okay, let's go back to Esther's Block for a second. Lemon, citrus.
There's a little bit of kerosene in the back end, eh? You know, so it's got a lot of classic Riesling characteristics. Yeah, but to me, it's a little bit more on the grapefruity side.
Are you trying to convince people to hold on to these Rieslings for a while, maybe give them some cellar time?
You know, it always really depends on, I ask the consumers, like, are you, you know, a big fan of that style, or do you like it a little bit fresher and fruitier, right? Because it's definitely going to go a little bit more on the kerosene-y kind of petrol-y side as it ages. So it really depends on what you're looking for as a consumer, and if you want that style or drink it now. But it certainly doesn't need any more bottle time. But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, they'll definitely age really well. They're all low pH wines, obviously, with a lot of natural acidity. So, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see these wines in, you know, another 6 to 7 years.
Graham Pierce from Kitch, general manager, and definitely has his hands on the fruit going forward. I know the Pinot Gris is not here, but I just want to, my memory of Pinot Gris, and I wrote this down, citrus and minerality. And I'm thinking, will the minerality allow that Pinot Gris to sit down for a year or two?
Yeah, I think all these wines will age quite well because, again, you know, cooler climate, low pH, lots of nice natural acidity. So good winemaking techniques. So, I mean, is the consumer looking for that? Or do they want it a little bit just fresher and fruitier right out of the gate? Hard to say. But there's no, you know, the wines aren't going to fall apart.
Wait a minute. Do you lie asleep at night wondering what the consumer wants?
I don't. No, I sleep really well. But do I think about it? Yeah, 100%.
What about the winemakers that talk to me and say, you know what, I'm going to make what I make. This is my vision. This is what I do.
Okay. Well, I think that's, I mean, that's cool if you can do that. But I mean, for me, it's like there's, you have to always be thinking about who's the end user of this, right? Because I can't drink it all. I want to make wines that I really enjoy and I think that are, you know, true to me. I'm not going to kind of veer from that, but I'll certainly steer wines in the direction where I think the consumer wants to see them. Especially if you've been making a certain wine a certain way, you kind of have that kind of ideal in your head on where that's going, and you want to stay true to that so that the consumer knows what they're kind of going to get year after year.
Dear wine fan, if you've listened at all to Tasting Room Radio over the years, I have waxed poetic about Cab Franc. It's a wonderful Cab Franc, a lot of spice, a lot of red berries. It's exactly what you're looking for, a mouthful.
Yeah, 100%. Super delicious, really, really ripe, not on that green side as well. So it's a nice sight down in Oliver. Cab Franc, I think, something that BC does really, really well. Definitely see it growing in the market. You know, not too heavy, not too much tannins. So, yeah.
I think your next guests are here, but hold on a second. I got to ask you a couple of things. There's a Pinot Noir over there.
We're talking about BC Pinot Noir. I've been a huge fan of this for so long. Loved making it back in the day. So it's one of the big draws for me, being now with Kitch, being able to make Pinot from a couple different really, really cool climate sites. Looking for maybe one or two more right now. So it's really exciting times. I love that style. Not going, trying to go too heavy, not too much extraction.
You know, I would hug you if I could.
if only we could, Terry.
You're going to have fun with that. That's a 2018 Pinot. You're going to have fun with that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's like talk about great vines make great wines. We got an awesome vineyard going now. So I'm really, really excited for the future and what we can do up there.
You know that when they have that Pinot celebration in Kelowna, they had UBC. Did you walk around? Were you there that day?
I wasn't there, no.
Okay. But have you gone to that one in Culloden?
I've gone to the one in Khalid. Okay.
What you envision your Pinot to be down the road, will it fit in that spectrum?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I mean, they're all great BC Pinot Noir, so...
But the Pinot that you want to create?
Yeah, what do you mean by fitness that spectrum?
There were big, heavy, thick.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Pinot shouldn't be too heavy and too thick. You have, you know, a certain nice level of tannin, but it shouldn't be, like, overly dark or too jammy or whatnot. I think sometimes... if you go too far with Pinot like that, it makes like a nice red wine, but to me it doesn't speak truthfully of like BC Pinot. So I'd like a little bit of a true expression, like the Kitsch one here.
Anything else on the portfolio that's not on the table you want to talk about?
No, we got that.
Your favorites?
This is it. This is the nice little tight portfolio that we've got. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much, Terry.
Actually, what I really like is the forward leaning of everybody at the winery. You just can't wait to get at it.
Right, exactly. No, yeah, super, super excited. Yeah, got a great project and can't wait to get going and start crushing some grapes this year.
Okay. Last question, and we're going to come, I should have asked this in the beginning, and actually I said to the audience that I felt badly when I talked to you last that I placed you in a position of having to speak about Grant's wines, but that was the nature of the crossover. Down the road, how different will these wines be, or will you stay the course a couple of years from now?
Well, you know, I think that the wine styles that Grant's created are great, and they speak to the piece of terroir that we have. So I don't think they're going to be dramatically different. I mean, I'm obviously going to put my own imprint on them, and, you know, it'll be different year to year, and it'll also be different as the vineyards age. So we're going to see some difference in that as well, too. But, I mean, I love what he started, and I'm, for the most part, going to continue pretty close down the road. We'll see. There'll be a few surprises, I'm sure, Terry.
Including maybe your bubble project.
Including the bubble project, for sure. There'll be a bubble project, and who knows, there'll be... I'll let you know as soon as I know.
By the way, I was talking to Jeff Hundredmark at Mount Boo.
Oh, cool.
And they're still making enough wine for everyone. And so you have come actually where you maybe dreamt of going, and that was expressive wines, a small batch building to maybe 10,000 cases, and putting your own stamp on them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, enticed me about the project, right? So making super awesome, cool, authentic wines from a great piece for awesome people.
Thank you.
Happy days. Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. Just know that the Fall Wine Festival dinner with Backyard Farm takes place October the 3rd and again on October the 10th. Road13vineyards.com. Road 13, it's all about the dirt.